Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text 53. Nadi Vyadi Jara Glani, Dukkha Shoka Bhayaklama, Mrityus Chanchitam Nasid, Rame Rajan Yadokshade, Nadi Vyadi Jara Glani, Dukkha Shoka Bhayaklama, Mrityus Chanichchitam Nasid, Rame Rajan Yadokshade, Nadi Vyadi Jara Glani, Dukkha Shoka Bhayaklama, Mrityus Chanichchitam Nasid, Rame Rajan Yadokshade, Na, not, Adi, Adiatmic, Adibhotic, and Adidavic sufferings. That is, sufferings from the body and mind, from other living entities, and from nature. Vyadi, diseases. Jara, old age. Glani, bereavement. Dukkha, grief. Shoka, lamentation. Bhaya, fear. Klama, and fatigue. Mrityu, death. Cha, also. Anichchatam, of those who did not like it. Na asit, there was not. Rame, during the rule of Lord Ramachandra. Rajani, because of his being the king. Adokshade, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is beyond this material world. Translation. When Lord Ramchandra, the supreme personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was not even death for those who did not want it. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages. It is said, Kali Kale Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name, Hare Krishna Hare Rama. If we chant offenselessly, Ram and Krishna are still present in this age. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of the Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this Kali Yuga. Om Agana Chimarandasya, Gananjana Shalakaya, Chakshun Militam Yena, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today, of course, we're celebrating the appearance day of Lord Ramchandra. And we'll go over various aspects of Ram Leela, because devotees are always enlivened to hear about the activities of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is always coming to this world. It's amazing how people can feel that if there is a God, he's left us in this world and abandoned us. They do not know the transcendental system, nor do such people understand the unlimited love of the Supreme Lord, who is the Father of all living entities. Krishna is always doing things to rectify the false enjoying spirit of the conditioned souls of this world. He comes himself as Swayam Bhagavan once every day of Brahma. His expansions are always coming. His devotees are coming. In this way, everyone, any living entity in any species of life, gets the presence of the Supreme Lord. You are responsible for recognizing the incarnations listed in the Bhagavatam, and we are not allowed to recognize incarnations of Godhead that are not listed in Bhagavatam. That doesn't mean, however, that those are the only incarnations. Deva Tirya Naradishu, that is dated in the first canto. The Lord appears amongst the devas, the demigods. He appears amongst the human beings, and he appears amongst the animals. You know about the deva incarnations that are described in Bhagavatam, like Vamanadev, the son of Aditi. And you know about the Naralila, the human-like appearances of the Lord for human-like pastimes, Krishna, Balaram, and today, Ram, as well as Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. And then there's the Lord appearing in the animal species as Varaha, Adi Shukra, the original boar, and Hayagriva, the horse incarnation, Matsya, fish incarnation. So much comings of the Supreme Lord. How can we say we are alone? And in this age of Kali, the Lord comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's present as his holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, the Lord is fully present as his holy name. And if we chant the holy name sincerely, trying to avoid offenses, Rama and Krishna are fully present. There are so many incarnations, but we only recognize those that are described in Bhagavatam. Otherwise, Prabhupada informs us in the purport in the first canto that the Lord appears amongst every species according to the particular situation of that species and the particular problems that species have. All this appearance of the Lord is going on, yet people feel alone. They're shutting the door. God is not here. It's up to us to decide everything. That is their concoction meant to increase their enjoyment, and all it's done is increase their stress and anxiety. I was at a program two nights ago where there were about 8 or 10, what you call rank and file Los Angeles persons there, ranging from 25 years old up to 55. And I asked them all, how much does stress and anxiety, how much is that stress and anxiety a part of your life? And they all just like opened up and like, wow, the stress and anxiety is increasing like never before. The stress is so overpowering, it's driving us to do so many crazy things to try to get away from the stress and anxiety. Well, this is what happens when you have no idea how to live in this world according to the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Externally, everything can be very advanced with all the luxuries and the conveniences. But inside, people are aching in such pain. They're groaning under the burden of all this self-created anxiety and stress. amidst these circumstances, an intelligent person would wonder, well, what to do? What to do about myself? What to do about the world? And then we hear a purport like this from Srila Prabhupada. The kingdom of Ram was immensely popular and beneficial, and the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation even in this Kali Yuga. And in a previous purport, he wrote that, if the people of this age take to this Hare Krishna movement, that you can introduce the situation of Kali Yuga even in, you can introduce the situation of such a yuga even in this age of Kali. Now, is this exaggeration? Is Prabhupada just saying these things just to inspire us, you know, to follow those regs and rise early in the morning? So he's saying very bold things, that this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a situation similar to what Lord Ramchandra did? A few days ago, one young man from Las Vegas was here. He's finishing university, and he started to chant 16 rounds. I asked him, why did you start chanting 16 rounds? He said, well, I read so much in Prabhupada's books that just chanting the holy name once can bring about complete perfection. So I figured I'd give it a try. But now I'm chanting 16 rounds. I guess, looking back, I guess, you know, these things in the Shastra, they're like exaggerations just to, you know, fire us up. I said, no, it's not like that at all. These things can happen. I said, just like at your university, UNLV, don't people sometimes get honorary PhDs? Yeah, that's true. You know, same old Prabhupada example Prabhupada said so many times, but, you know, they work. So, I said, are you going to sit around this semester and just wait for your honorary degree? No, I'm going to study and graduate. I said, but it does happen that people get honorary degrees. Yes. Okay, so similarly, the Shastra is describing that it does happen that someone, their tongue can touch the holy name once and all perfection comes. Krishna's independent. Why do we automatically say these things are exaggeration or, you know, it doesn't apply to this age or whatever? Even take mundane examples besides university example. People are always saying in, you know, the political propaganda, the USA is a place where anyone can become a millionaire. Yeah. Overseas, the US is always making propaganda. Look at our Secretary of State. He started out as a poor immigrant in Harlem, and now he's at top. Or look at the general who's leading the Iraq campaign. He was just a nobody in high school. Now, just see his supreme position. So they're always making propaganda like, these things happen in our country, therefore our country is the topmost. Now, you know that everybody you bump into on the street isn't going to rise to these high positions. At the same time, you do know it's possible. So why is it that we doubt Shastra when it quotes its glorious persons who made huge breakthroughs? Why do we have that feeling? Another example I know, the guy who founded Motown Records in Detroit was a poor guy who took a loan, $800 from his family. And by the time he sold the company, when they moved to L.A., he sold it for $64 million. So he just went around boasting, just see how great I am. I started out with an $800 loan. And, you know, and in 20 years, I sold my company for $64 million. You know. So the Shastra is giving the bona fide champions. And the Shastra is giving you the bona fide methods by which everyone can become a champion. And it does happen that there are champions in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, the spreading of this Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. You'll find statements by Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita where he says the Bala Kurukshetra was won in 18 days. Similarly, the Hare Krishna movement can take over the whole world in that amount of time. He also said, if my disciples would do what I wanted, if all of them would do what I wanted, We could take over the world in 18 days. This is the power, the spiritual power, that is contained in Krishna consciousness. So why is it that we recognize extraordinary things happening in the material world, in our own nation, but when it comes to Krishna consciousness, well, I don't know. There is this kind of power in bhakti, in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Prabhupada was a firm, I won't say believer, much more intense than believer. He was a realizer of the potency contained in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So much so that he took up the order of Bhakti Siddhanta as his life and soul, even though others thought, well, it's not possible that these people outside of India will ever be Krishna conscious. Everyone had their own interpretation of the verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where it is said, in every town and village, the Lord's glories will be chanted. They all thought it means in India, every town and village in India. Everybody had their own way of diminishing the statements in the Shastra. Prabhupada never did that, and he never taught us to do that. In fact, Prabhupada said some amazing things which will cause us to deeply reflect. He said, future historians will remember the time of his activities in this world as having changed the course of the world. Now, how are we going to cope with that statement? We have to think deeply and try to understand the enormous potency that is contained within Krishna consciousness. I remember, as a young devotee, I had found a letter from Prabhupada. It's not in the folio now, but I remember the letter clearly because I put it on my locker in Brooklyn. Back then, all the brahmacharis had a locker, which is like, 10 inches wide and, maybe 30 inches long. That was it. And you put your sleeping bag on top of all the lockers, and that was all the space you got. So I somehow had to fit this letter onto the front of my locker. And in it, Prabhupada was writing to a leader who had disappointed him. And Prabhupada was saying, I've given you such big responsibility. Do you understand how sad I'm feeling to hear rumors about you that you're, doing wrong? That's all right. I've given you big opportunity, and I'm hearing these rumors. I know that Lord Chaitanya will send me the right persons to spread this movement. If not you, somebody else. So this was Prabhupada's determination. He had complete conviction in the power of the holy name. He wrote that in his poem on landing in the USA. I have full faith in the holy name of Krishna. They call me Bhaktivedanta. Now, my dear Lord, if you like, you can fulfill the meaning of Bhaktivedanta. So this is the unique ISKCON heritage. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they never doubted the full potency of Krishna's holy name and Lord Chaitanya's movement. They never took it as exaggeration, even in the toughest times. And you're seeing now Prabhupada carrying over that same bona fide spirit in his purports to Ram Leela. Yes, it can happen now if the people take to Krishna consciousness. What are some things we like to remember about Ram Leela? Certainly his protection of the citizens. Shukadeva Goswami describes that Lord Ramachandra's care of his citizens was like a father caring for them. He did not simply take taxes from them and let the people be in any kind of degraded condition. We heard on Prabhupada's lecture last Sunday, how it is very horrible that political leaders take taxes but can't give any training to the people. So Ramchandra cared for his citizens like a father in that they were all trained how to live properly for going back to Godhead. He perfectly executed the responsibilities of being a leader, caring for the people with affection and making sure that there's training there so everyone could execute their social and spiritual duties. He also was so affectionate for his brothers. After Ram came back from the forest. Well, after he had reunited with Sita Devi and he was going back to Ayodhya in victory, Bharata heard the news. Ram is coming back. All while Ram was in exile, even though Bharata was supposed to be king by his mother's schemes, he was just living very austerely, wearing bark with matted hair, drinking barley cooked in cow urine every day. Although he's the supreme personality of Godhead, he recognized Ram is the leader. When he heard that Lord Ram was approaching Ayodhya for his victorious return, he took the wooden slippers of Ram, put them on his head, and went out to greet Ram. This is the utmost act of humility. Would you think of greeting someone in that way? Putting their shoes on your head and walking outside to greet them? But this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead greeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, if God can be humble, I guess we can too. This is how Bharata greeted Lord Ram. And then Bharata, he fell down at the feet of Lord Ram, and Ram embraced him. And then Bharata embraced Lord Ram. They both began to cry incessantly, bathing each other with tears, showing us that Vaishnavism is full of interpersonal affection, real affection, because it's on the spiritual platform. Such an emotional scene was created by the brothers reuniting again. And then we can also think of Lord Ramchandra's relationship with the Brahmanas. He knew how to take care of everyone perfectly. He performed a great yajna and then distributed all that he had to the Brahmanas. He gave away all the directions, whichever way you looked in the world. Ram gave it to the Brahmanas. Sita Devi gave away all her wealth, gave away all her opulence, all her opulent clothes and jewels. Shukadev Goswami says she just left, the only opulence she left herself with was her nose ring. That was it. And then what did the Brahmanas say? They accepted it, because it's the duty of Brahmanas to accept charity, but Brahmanas can't keep more than they need. So the Brahmanas said, "Actually, my dear Lord, you have entered into our hearts, and you have destroyed the darkness of ignorance with your knowledge. We don't need anything else except that." And so the Brahmanas gave everything back to the Lord. This is Vaishnavism. It's hard to understand. Yeah. Suppose somebody, gave you the state of California, and then would you say, "Well, you can have it back. I'm just satisfied with Bhagavad Gita." These things are like beyond our Kali Yuga brains. But Lord Ram actually gave away the whole world. And Sita Devi gave away all her fine clothes and jewelry. But the Brahman has returned it. We're satisfied simply because you're in our hearts with transcendental knowledge. We don't want anything else. And we're Brahmanas. We cannot keep more than we need, so we're giving it right back to you. These are the things that went on during Lord Ramachandra's rule. One of Lord Ramachandra's main purposes was to demonstrate ideal grihastha life, particularly ekapatni vrata. He only accepted one wife. Now, his father, Dasaratha Maharaj, had many wives, got into a bit of trouble because of it, too. The one wife got envious of the other wife, and Dasaratha Maharaj got kind of caught in the relations between the two. But Ramchandra, even though Ram is acting as a Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya can easily have more than one wife, Ramchandra demonstrated just one. In fact, when Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, even then, Ramchandra had the perfect excuse to accept another wife. But he didn't do it. He went through so much trouble to get Sita Devi back, showing that in grihastha life, once you accept a wife, you've got to accept all the responsibilities for the proper discharge of the ashram. So Ramachandra demonstrated that to the point of going through so much endeavor to rescue Sita Devi from Ravana. He also demonstrated detachment in a way that's painful for us to hear. You know how Ram was spying on his kingdom to hear what the citizens were talking about. And one ordinary, rather ignorant fellow was chastising his wife. Yeah. Ah, so you've been with other men. You think I'm like Lord Ram, who lets his wife be with others and still accepts her back? No way. I'm not like Ram. I'm not so foolish. So Ram heard that. And to maintain the exemplary status of his regime, he sent his wife away, even though she was pregnant with Lava and Kusha. This is very painful for us to hear. You might even think that, well, is this some, if you're, you know, a little materially tinged, you'll think, is this kind of some kind of abusive behavior by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? His wife's pregnant, and just because he heard some, you know, talk, some gossip about his wife, he sends her away? How cruel. But one of the opulences of the Supreme Lord is renunciation. So in this way, Ram was showing his detachment. And also he's showing that he wants to set a proper example, that in an ideal kingdom, the leader has to be ideal to such a high degree. Beyond that, of course, Ram and Sita were enjoying Vipralamba. This is the secret of Vaishnavism. Love in separation. In the material world, separation brings much pain. The grief of separation, if you've ever experienced it, you don't like it. I don't know if you've ever experienced it. Maybe you can remember a teenage romance or something. The first time you felt you thought you had fallen in love, and you know, you couldn't see the other person for a weekend, and no one likes the grief of separation, whether a loved one dies or a family member dies or moves away or whatever. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's perfect and complete, enjoys even the grief of separation. In fact, the secret of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is that love and separation is even more powerful and sweeter than the meetings of love, the rendezvous. So Ramchandra and Sita Devi were going to once again enjoy love and separation. They had already done that when Sita Devi was kidnapped. And Ram, grief-stricken, spent so much endeavor to get her back. And Sita Devi was captured by Ravana, living in Ravana's house, and feeling acute separation from Ram. That already happened. But once again, it would happen. When Ram banished Sita Devi, or sent her away, even though she was pregnant, she gave birth to her sons, put her sons under the care of Valmiki Muni, and then entered into the earth and ended her manifest appearance in this world. At which point, when Ram heard the news, he merged into grief. But that grief is the influence of Hadini Shakti, the love of God potency. So his relationship with Sita Devi became even more intense and sweet. That is why the Lord does these kind of pastimes. He's the supreme enjoyer, so much so that he can even enjoy the grief of separation. For the devotees, just as Krishna Bhaktas think of Lord Krishna wandering through the forest of Braj, and they're feeling acute pain because of the pebbles in the forest that may bruise the Lord's lotus feet, the gopis in Braj are thinking like that. Krishna's complexion is so soft that if a newly grown leaf, you know, newly grown leaves are very soft. Still, if a newly grown leaf touches Krishna's body changes colors. It's so sensitive. His body is so sensitive. Now that same body, that same Lord, he's wandering through the forest of Vrindavan. What are his feet experiencing from the pebbles in the forest? The gopis are back in Vrindavan thinking like that. Similarly, the devotees of Lord Ram, the Ram Bhaktas, they're thinking, oh, when Ramchandra was in the Dandakaranya forest, what about the thorns that must have pricked his lotus feet? In this way, through what is apparent pain and agony, the devotees feel transcendental bliss. Apparently, it's very painful for the devotees to think of the Lord's lotus feet in the forest of Braj or in the forest of Dandakaranya, but actually it is transcendental pleasure. Materialists cannot understand this. What else did Ramchandra demonstrate? Through his relationship with Sita Devi, besides laying down the standard of ideal grihastha life, Ramchandra demonstrated a material truth. Actually, two truths at the same time. One we've already talked about a little bit. He demonstrated the pain you get from material association, material affection between male and female. At the same time, he demonstrated the joy of the highest experience in love of God, Vipralamba, love and separation. He taught both at the same time. This is the amazing thing about Krishna's appearance in all his incarnations and expansions. So Ram taught both at once. He's showing, in other words, just see, from the material point of view, you could say I was too attached to Sita Devi. Look at all I went through just to get her back. Look at all the hardship I had to go through. Look at the huge war I waged just to get Sita back. This is what happens when you're too attached. That's a material truth. Now, from the spiritual side, of course, Ramachandra is enjoying his love of God potency, his love and separation from Sita Devi. Meeting, separating, all these are to amplify the flow of love of God between the Lord and his pleasure potency. Well, these are other things that we can meditate on. What about the order of Dasarath Maharaj, which Dasarath Maharaj so painfully had to give to Ram because of the politics of his wife? You know that Dasarath Maharaj had been wounded on the battlefield and his wife had nursed him back to health, and Dasarath Maharaj, you know, Kshatriyas are very magnanimous, and if someone pleases them, they offer them a benediction. So why not to the wife? He said, you've served me so nicely. Whatever benediction you want from me, you can have. The wife was clever. Well, not now. I won't ask her anything now, but in the future. So this was forgotten about. But, as you know, the night before Ram was to be coronated king, the co-wife, brought out the benediction weapon. Do you remember? And Dasarath Maharaj responded, thank you for reminding me. Of course I'm true to my word. Whatever you like, you may have, especially on such a glorious night before the coronation of Ram. Naturally, whatever you want, you can have. Doubly so. Never did he expect to hear the words that came out of her mouth. Banish Ram to the forest, make my son king. And then when Dasarath Maharaj hesitated, like, oh, how can you say this? She cut him down with a sharp tongue. What kind of kshatriya are you? You gave your word, and now you're backing down? Where's your honor? Where's your valor? She was really empowered to cause a disturbance. So Ramchandra was called in, and his father, in such a distraught condition you can't imagine, told him he had to go to the forest. What was Ramchandra's response? He didn't bat an eye. Not the slight bit of disturbance. Not the slightest. So the next morning, he was to be king of Ayodhya, meaning the emperor of the world. Everyone was waiting for this joyous moment. Ram was their heart of hearts, and now he would officially be the king. His father was so happy. Everyone was so happy, except for two or three persons. Then You can just think. Suppose you were going to be the mayor of Los Angeles or something. The next morning you were going to be installed. And the night before, suddenly you're called in and hey, that's it, you know. You're finished. You get out of here. How would you feel? Just go live in a town of 100 people in Idaho for 13 years. How would you feel? This is the renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is showing, I'm not a cheap God, I'm the real thing. I enjoy unlimitedly, and I can renounce unlimitedly also. So when Dasara Maharaj ordered, regretfully, that Ram had to go to the forest, Ram just took the order on his head and immediately executed it. The Shastra says, just like a liberated soul gives up the body at death without any hesitation or attachment. Similarly, Ramchandra took the order of Dasarath Maharaj and went to the forest. This is quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an example of how the disciple follows the order of the guru. Taking it deep into the heart without any hesitation. Just like Prabhupada is writing here. The spreading of the Hare Krishna movement can immediately introduce a similar situation, even in this Kali Yuga. We're meant to take those words, which he's repeating. He's not just saying it in one purport. He's saying it in several purports. The Hare Krishna movement can do this. So we're meant to take those words deep into our heart without any negative aversion, just like Ramchandra took the order of Dasarath Maharaj into his heart. Although his father was completely pained by having to say that, Ramchandra was completely calm. All right, sure. No problem. I'll go to the forest. Well, why is everyone lamenting? What's the big deal? So, this Shastra uses this as an example of how devotees execute orders in Krishna consciousness. And then you know about the eyes of the Lord burning the ocean, because the ocean wouldn't create a path to Lanka. The Lord is showing, I'm acting like a human being, but at the same time, I'll always demonstrate that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the glory of Naralila, human-like pastimes. The Lord acts like a human being to attract your human attention, but simultaneously he always shows you, I am supreme, you can't compete with me. So he waited for 3 days for the ocean personified Samudra Devi to appear and for her to grant access to Lanka. She didn't do it, so the Lord with his angry eyes burnt the ocean and all the aquatics were getting scorched. Then Samudra Devi appears. And what is her prayer? Very interesting. She says, actually you're right to punish living entities because they're not so bright. Unless you punish them, they actually will not come to their senses. Just like until I felt the scorching rays of your eyes through my waters, I wasn't coming. Similarly, living entities, unless they experience catastrophes and wars and pestilence and other disasters, they're not going to take the Supreme Personality of Godhead seriously. So Samudra Devi backed up the Lord in his approach to how the material world goes on. Not that how can there be a God who allows such suffering? No, Samudra Devi was saying, you are God. You know what you're doing. You know that if the conditioned souls don't get suffering, they'll never come to their senses. So she glorified Ram in that way. Now, how do devotees take this whole thing of making the bridge to Lanka? Ramchandra didn't have to construct a bridge to get to Lanka. Everything could be done just by his desire. But he's doing things in a way that will be eternally glorified because the Lord is the supreme artist. He had his monkey soldiers floating the mountaintops and stones in the ocean and making a bridge in this way showing that whatever I do will be remembered eternally. Sometimes people say that. Okay, if you accept that Ram is God, where's the suspense? Because God can do anything. So why are you so drawn to Ram Leela? You just know it's God. It's all going to work for him. He's always going to win. So what's the big deal? Let's go watch another movie. But Krishna, Because he's a supreme personality, got it. Because Ram is a supreme personality, got it. Even though you know they're always going to win, they do things in such an artistic, attractive way that your consciousness is eternally mesmerized. That is God. Well, these are some things we can learn from Ram Leela. We can go on and on and on. One last point. Remember Ravana's attitude. I can do whatever I like. I can kidnap Sita. Oh, this beautiful woman is meant for me in my senses. Who can stop me? Life is meant for enjoyment. Who can check me? This is the Ravana attitude, which you see so current in the world today. People have no idea how to control their senses. They're not thinking in any way that there's some overarching laws of nature they have to be conscious of. Everyone is just thinking, may the economy always expand and then everyone will be happy. And the particular American doctrine spread all over the world is, all you need is votes and consumerism and you'll be happy. If there's a ballot box in your land and if there's voting, you're all right. That's all you need. We've already spoken about how Ram, in his government, showed the people have to be trained, otherwise it's a failure. The general who's leading the Iraqi war, the newspapers describe how he's been married all his life to the same woman. We compliment, for that. We're in favor of family values. Even in Yavana culture, we can find things which we should compliment. Yes, it's very nice that someone's with their wife all their life. It's described that when he goes to the office, to the war office, as he's leaving home, she embraces him and kisses him and says, every day she says the same mantra, make the world a safer place for democracy. As if that's going to solve everyone's problems. Voting system for fools is going to solve the world's problems. We don't accept that. We say that no matter what form of government you have, if the people are untrained, if the people have no knowledge, then there's going to be hell. Ramchandra had such an affectionate relationship with his citizens, not based on sentiment. They got the real thing from him. They got training. Not just laws, but training in how to behave, training in how to progress in life. This is an important point from Ram Leela that we can always think about, especially in today's contemporary situation. Any questions? Yes.
Can you set some example of a disciple who hesitates to obey the orders of the master?
The famous example everyone knows is about Yudhisthira hesitating to tell a lie in the battle of Kurukshetra. And for that, he got a little bit of disturbance, not much. He was so moral that he couldn't follow Krishna's instructions. Remember Prabhupada telling devotees in Hawaii who were criticizing book distribution, what are his famous words? Don't be a bigger moralist than your Guru Maharaj. These eternal words from Prabhupada. Yeah. You have a better way for distributing books? Then do it. But you're not doing anything I can see. And you're criticizing. So similarly, Yudhisthira Maharaj hesitated when Krishna told him to tell a lie. So Krishna had to fabricate a situation. Okay, an elephant named Ashwatthama has died. So you just say Ashwatthama is dead, and who knows whether it's referring to the human Ashwatthama or the elephant Ashwatthama. So that's a classic example of hesitation. Anything else? Yes?
His last time we see he refused to marry Ravana's sister.
Ekaputni Vrata. Don't you remember? He had the vow of only taking one wife. Anything else? All glories to the Prabhupada.